everybody, welcome. That's a really weird intro.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, guys, I'm a pedophile.
Hey, welcome. I don't know if I sound like a pedophile.
A little bit.
Maybe I did.
I feel like
welcome
I
to the TV Camp Podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Adair, and with us, as always, Craig and Elijah, the TV men, the connoisseurs, the cable guys, if you will.
I'm
and
happy to be back. It's been
a couple weeks since we've done a TV Camp Podcast.
I'm excited.
We're so excited that we brought our special guest today, Kyle.
Hello.
The man with the stash. And also the plan. The man
he also lives here. I mean, that's
he lives here too.
I mean, that's why he's here. I mean, we didn't invite him. He just kind of lived here.
So he's going to be eating some cake as we record. So if you hear him chewing and talking, that's okay. Because that's what Kyle does. He doesn't follow anybody's rules. Kyle's his own man.
Big shout out to Kevin for making his cake.
Kevin, thanks for the cake, bro. All right, you guys, let's get right into it. It's been a while since we have been in the I literally just lost the email. The email's gone. I had the email with the did you see that? It just disappeared. All right, guys, let's get right into it. Better Call Saul. There's news that it could possibly be a sequel series to Breaking Bad as opposed to a prequel series.
The third option is it would be a prequel-sequel hybrid with flashback-a-rooskies.
I choose door number three.
So, which is the...
The sequel-prequel hybrid.
So, what we would imagine is, let's build this story for... Let's just build this show for everybody. So, Breaking Bad ends.
Saul's in Nebraska.
Spoiler, Saul gets sent to Nebraska. Long story short. He's there. Maybe he's like working as a like a burger flipper at like a local
he's manager
McDonald's.
Of a Cinnabon.
Yeah, like literally a manager of a Cinnabon. Maybe,
but there's no Cinnabons in Nebraska.
So I would totally be down with seeing him interact with some of his people that he's working with at his new job, and then like he starts doing a mundane task and flashes back to the good old days of when he was a lawyer.
Him and Huel and
yeah,
QB
back in the day with the good old friends. You know, back. So you know, he's kind of like the prequel stuff is a flashback of him just remembering and thinking about his time before.
I imagine it would have something to do with his mundane life. Yeah, relating to when his life was much more exciting. And if I get more Huel, and what's the other guy's name?
QB, I think it is.
Kyle, Huel. You finished Breaking Bad, correct?
I did.
Good for you. Would you guys be okay with having a... what was the guy... Ted Beneke? Would you be okay having a Beneke vegetable, like, as a side character?
I don't need more Beneke in my life.
I wish I that's the
vegetable
guy.
Vegetable Beneke adjacent?
I want to see more Beneke.
just him, bald head.
It's
hot. Just looks all weird.
Just like a supervillain with that whole cage contraption.
Kyle, we never got your thoughts on Breaking Bad. Just in a sentence, what did you think?
Amazingly beautiful.
Okay. All right. That's pretty
two
much...
Words. Those words, that wasn't a sentence.
Two words, not a complete sentence, but whatever. Again, it Kyle was... does not play by anyone else's rules but his own. So that's totally okay. We're all excited for the show. That's as simple as that. Like, we just love the Breaking Bad world. We find a reason to talk about it all the time, and we just are genuinely pumped to see this character come back because it was the funniest character on Breaking Bad by far, and it was a good run for Saul. So... Let's start talking now about how Marvel will be doing... It's the one that's basically 2 weeks following the release of Thor Dark World. That episode will take place immediately following the movie Thor Dark World. So, two questions for you guys. Is 2 weeks enough time for people to go see Dark World to be able to understand what's happening on the show? I mean, it seems like they're putting a lot of faith in their ability to get people out to the theater.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
To understand. But and then the second question is, do you like to see quick continuity like this, you know, referencing something that was so, you know, only 2 weeks ago?
They've got to find a way to...
Anybody can say anything.
Well, this is the first time that we've ever had this situation where a movie franchise is directly tied to a TV franchise.
Right.
And they
Until next so, year with Arrow, but...
Yeah, well in.
Right.
And it's so relevant, and so that's really cool. But I think 2 weeks is enough time, because the diehard fans, the people who are seeing Thor that opening weekend, there's two whole weekends before the episode premieres. So I think that is enough time for the diehards who are actually watching the show religiously every week. Yeah.
Okay.
And I think that it's not just diehards that are watching this show. I think it's a lot of families that,
you know, feels like a family show.
Yeah.
And I like that, though.
It's a huge group of a family of, you know, six or maybe more, it's so expensive to go to the movies that they have this outlet on TV that they can watch at no cost. Mm-hmm. And so eventually they're going to watch Thor, but they're going to rent it on DVD. They're going to wait till it comes out on Netflix and they're going to watch it then. So it's a cool idea, but I hope that they don't spoil too much of the actual movie.
With the show.
Right. I hope it's ambiguous enough where unless you watch the movie, you won't know exactly what's going on.
And they say that there's something like this for Captain America in the works as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Kyle?
I completely agree. I'm actually very excited about this show, the way that it's going. There's a couple things that I wish they would tweak, but I mean, you're going to get that with any shows in the first thing. But I do like how they're going to take what happens in the movie and then correlate that with what's happening in the show.
We are all four of us are in on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., am I right? Craig, are you watching it too?
I've watched 10 minutes of one episode.
Okay, listen, don't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Start on Arrow on Netflix. You'll thank me later.
Elijah, that goes for you too.
We're going to have an Arrow break-in right here, and Kyle and I are going to talk about Arrow for just a minute.
I mean, we built that in the outline.
But okay. Not in the outline. I'm going to do it right now.
Yeah, we did totally forget about Arrow.
Kyle.
Yes.
Have you enjoyed this season so far of Arrow? Because
I haven't seen this season of Arrow.
Have you not?
No.
Okay.
Elijah blocks everything I try and put on the DVR.
We'll mention that later on. We have something for that.
I'm gonna just give you. Excuse I'm gonna give you a name.
Okay.
A name that was just dropped in episode 4.
Okay.
Ra's al Ghul. All right. So that should get you excited about wanting to watch.
I loved Arrow.
So Liam Neeson's gonna be on a CW show?
Unlikely.
No, Liam Neeson's not going to because that's a different trilogy. Elijah.
I know. I'm just trying to
show you.
I know you are. I know you are. All right. First images have been released for season 3 of Sherlock. Now, here's the question I want to ask. Do images get you excited for a show? Because to me, I see an image for a show. And I'm like, who cares? Like, oh, this is the actor playing the guy on a set. It doesn't get me going at all. Man. Like
it's like a poster. It's TV shows posters.
It's not a poster.
That's what it is. They it's certain images that they want you to see to get you excited. So a movie's like, hey, this is our movie poster. It's Godzilla's claw. That's what these set images are, or these first screenshots of them back together. I mean, Watson sitting in the cafe.
We know they're back together. I can close my eyes and imagine them on set together doing this.
I like it. I'm excited. It's just a little
I'm out on images.
They can't give us footage, so they're giving us an image to get us.
Why can't they give us footage?
It's not polished
enough. Just do
us
like a little 6-second vine of them walking on set together.
Okay,
it's
well,
a moving picture. It's
I'm
a gift.
That. Okay.
I think they can matter. You know, years back when they were leaking images of The Dark Knight, everyone wanted to see what the Joker was going to look like. Mm-hmm. And that got me excited, not even being a huge comic book fan. Like, I was like, oh, let me check out these pictures because I wanted to see how they are going to interpret that. Mm-hmm. But something that you kind of know how the show was filmed, how the show looks.
Yeah, and that's what kind of struck me about it was like Sherlock, you know, like, okay, well, they're going to be solving a mystery. And the picture, I have not seen this picture, but I imagine it's him and Watson standing together
looking at something.
It's
Watson sitting at the bar being very upset and depressed with what he thinks happened to Sherlock, and Sherlock walking by the window. And
he's
Watson
not walking, it's a
him.
Picture. It's a picture.
Well, he's standing.
It's not.
So Cumberbund Bandersnatch is standing outside.
Cumberbund Bandersnatch is standing outside to be like, I'm sorry, I caused you all this pain. There's just so much that they say. It's like a painting. It's like a beautiful painting.
All right, so Elijah in on images. I do agree with Craig. I think that sometimes it's powerful, like that release of the Joker image that when they finally showed what he was going to look like. But
me and Elijah are on the same page. I freaking love this show. I love.
I don't think I actually know
his name. Elijah told me a long time ago that his name is Cumberbund Bandersnatch.
Benedict Cumberbund
Bandersnatch.
So there are three possible names for him, and all Sherlock. Of them are awesome because he is Khan, he is Sherlock, he is also a dragon in
Smaug. Either way.
He's hot right now.
He is amazing.
He's hot right now.
Oh, man. This date was a flop. Poor guy.
Marcia Wallace, rest in peace. Mrs. Krabappel on The Simpsons. I literally have nothing to say about this.
Craig depressed
other than
earlier.
A moment of silence. Craig, what do you got?
I showed Elijah the picture of Bart Simpson writing, and I quote, "We'll really miss you, Miss K." And just his face, like, when I first saw it, I was like, oh my god, that's so sad. Like, got really sad. Well, and then I showed Elijah and he felt the same way. Like, oh no!
Especially when you think about all the things that they've shown been written on the board, and that's just right. Been a staple, you know, and then the way they did that.
It's,
cool.
And it's just, and it's the only, it's very subtle, the only time very there's subtle. Been just one line, right? Because yep. It was just the one line. It wasn't yep. repeated. It was just blank yeah. board, that line.
Yeah, it, the show has been around for so long that any character that is around for that long is going to have meaning to anybody.
Well, and it's crazy because I haven't seen an episode of The Simpsons in probably 5 years.
It hasn't been relevant to me in a long time. I mean, I love The Simpsons movie, but I haven't watched the show probably in 6-7 years. So
and it's still, it was still so emotionally effective.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be that guy, but do they replace her on the show or do they actually, are they going to remove her character from the show?
The character is completely gone.
Gone? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, classic. Sad moment. Sad moment for Simpsons fans, the 12 of you that remain. Moment of silence for you, for the show and your show and the character. Tina Fey, new show on what channel? Random channel? Who knows? NBC probably.
NBC needs to fix their comedy game, so they're trying.
Kelly Kemper from The Office. Now, I don't know if you guys
or
know.
If you know her. She's Blowjob Girl.
Yes, Blowjob Girl. She's Blowjob Girl from the Mystery Team videos. Or
she
not,
wants to give
Derek
it to you
Comedy.
Real dry.
Derek Comedy. She, yeah. She wants to make her mouth like the Sahara Desert.
Sounds pleasant.
It's a very funny video online on YouTube.
Just search Blowjob Girl into YouTube.
But make sure it's into YouTube.
not
into Google, yeah. As you will find very different
tell
results.
You what, go ahead and put Derek Comedy Blowjob Girl. Yeah, you'll see where she got her start. She got her start in Hollywood with a blowjob. Interesting. That's what she got in the office.
That's how a lot of girls start off in Hollywood.
But yeah,
the character basically is going to be escaping from a doomsday cult, and she lives in New York City. We don't know much more about it than that, guys.
Not really. Yeah, they haven't released a whole lot. We don't even know for sure if Tina Fey is actually going to be acting in it.
It said it's from her, so
probably just executive producing. She's going to start doing, you know, a little bit of what like J.J. Abrams does for television, just being an EP on all these shows,
just being a name. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm in. I mean, she's a good actress, I think, and
yeah, Ellie. She's really enjoyable in The Office. One of the few characters that they introduced that you actually rooted for and liked during the last few seasons of The Office. So.
And
I'm excited for it.
I think it could really go dark comedy because, like, it's going to be one of those things where she's doing, like, things that are okay for cult people, but then she's, like, with, like, Sex in the City style girls in New York, and it's just not going to fly. I think there's, like, some really good potential for dark comedy. I like it. I want it.
I like it, and I want it. I want some more of it.
Yeah.
All right.
If you like something, you want more of it.
I want more.
You know who else hates The Walking Dead, Elijah? George Romero.
Good.
His quote, basically, it's a soap opera with a zombie occasionally. I always use the zombie as a character for satire or a political criticism, and I find that missing in what's happening now. I am all out on Walking Dead. I have officially stopped watching.
The last two were really bad, Andy.
I've only watched the first episode and 15 minutes, and I was completely disinterested in the second episode. I did not care what happened anymore. And I was just like, you know what? I'm not going to watch and let's just see. And I have not been compelled to go back.
Andy, are 14 million Americans every Sunday idiots?
Yes. Sorry, everyone. No, so, they're not idiots. They're not idiots. But I'll just say this. It's defensible to keep watching the show. A lot of people have invested 3 seasons in it. They do like the characters. They like to see. There's nothing compelling about Walking Dead for me.
There's one character people like.
Daryl. Yeah.
That is the only reason why you need to watch Walking Dead. Besides that, who cares? It's
Craig,
all about it.
Have you been watching episodes too, Craig?
I'm out as well.
You're out,
for the most part. I think, like, here's what's been happening the past few weeks.
Yeah, tell me what's happened the last couple episodes.
No. Just in my life. I haven't been home. I've been doing other things than watching Walking Dead Sunday nights, probably watching football. And so I don't watch it live with Kyle and Elijah. And I don't find the time to watch it on the DVR or
it's
to watch it online.
I don't
don't wake up in the morning like, oh, I'm going to watch Walking Dead later. Do I have time to watch it? No, forget it. Like, I've been reading just reviews of it and being, okay, I'm glad I didn't waste an hour watching that.
Yeah. Kyle, what do you think? You're all caught up, yeah?
I'm all caught up. The last two episodes, I agree with Elijah, they're bad. Like, just the story itself is just, it's not good.
The thing that's really weird is that there's been 4 showrunners, one per each season,
mm-hmm.
and I just don't understand, like, if these showrunners are watching anything that's happened before, because they don't respect what the character's done before, and they have just completely flipped some characters on their heads, mm-hmm. and it just doesn't, like, tonally there's no consistency, character-wise there's no consistency, and they do not respect the comics at all. And it's stupid, because Robert Kirkman's supposed to be more in charge of this stuff now, but the characters, and you said this to me, I think, a few weeks ago, but the characters that are awesome in the comics are nothing like their comic counterparts in the in the TV show. And it's so frustrating.
It's just frustrating, it's just like, but at the same time, you know, that you understand that they're different worlds, but, I mean, the show should be better than it is. It really should.
Like, that's kind of the strength of Game of Thrones, is that, like, they have to adapt around this awesome story that already exists. And you would think Walking Dead could just follow the same beats and be okay, but they're not doing that.
I know.
It's bad.
I know that this won't happen, but do you think the best thing for Walking Dead would be for it to be canceled and brought up on a new, like, as a Netflix series or as a, you know, HBO
They'd
or
never
show?
They'd cancel it.
The best thing they can do is kill Rick.
That's the 100% the best 100%. Thing they can do.
And then go somewhere completely that the just
the show is just way too much about him.
Veer way off from the comics. I think they should stop the comparisons that we keep talking about and take it in a whole new different direction. Yep. Let's get another group. Let's have a group of 1,000 zombies come in and kill everybody except for like 3 people, and they're forced to leave, and we follow their story.
Me and Elijah have a theory where the more upset Rick is, the more he tilts his neck to the left or right.
What? How did he's like walking through the prison and he stubs his toe and he's like, ah!
Just 90-degree angle.
Yeah, so just watch, when you're watching the show, just look. As Rick talks and gets more upset, his head just starts to tilt and tilt and tilt.
Yeah, it's, to me, they can't get away with certain things, like, without me just losing myself in the moment. Like watching the first episode, all the zombies are, like, falling through the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
It was just so ridiculous that I didn't care, and I didn't.
I actually enjoyed that first episode, but then after that, it just was already. I could tell it wasn't
those, just not going the way you wanted to. Mm-hmm. Was there any zombies at all in this last episode?
I don't know. I didn't watch.
Yeah, there were zombies in the last episode.
I think they just being in that one place. That's how the show's been going. Is they get one location and they fall in love with that location.
Yeah.
It doesn't make it interesting.
Or they fall in love with the low budget that they have and they can't move anywhere because they're trapped.
So if you reboot this show or, you know, do what Andy said and kill off, like, everyone but 4 people, and it's just 4 people on the road running into different groups and different stuff happening to these 4 people.
It could really put some new life in.
That'd be cool.
Series. I think it's why that they're trying to do the new series for The Walking Dead, like the spinoff series that they're doing. Yeah. I really think they want to do the show right.
Because when you have 4 people and one of the 4 dies, that's a big moment.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's like, oh, they have all these people in the prison. Oh, all these people in D Block got cold and died. Like, okay.
Yeah.
We never saw them. Oh, yeah. I'm supposed to care about these 2 little kids that I've seen on screen for a total of 10 minutes?
Right.
Oh, I really like this relationship. I'm glad she's singing a song to her.
Hey, Elijah, you know what other show I'm out on? Homeland.
Hey, Andy, guess what? That show is terrible.
So I have watched the first couple episodes of this season, and I'm out. I'm not watching the rest of the season. It's unless we get to the finale and Elijah, you come to me and you're just like, you've just got to watch it. Or I read some amazing review about how the finale brings it all back together. Or the show, you know, just really comes together in the last couple episodes. But I'm out on this show.
I watched the first 3 episodes. I didn't purposely stop watching it. I just haven't had the time. I will probably pick it up again. But it's just not a good season so far.
Yeah. The first season was just set the bar so high.
I can't even remember her name right now. The main female.
Claire.
Claire.
Claire Danes.
They took from
what's her name in the show?
Yeah.
What is her name? And I'm brain farting right now.
Yeah,
on the name.
It's just
Carrie. Yeah, that's
Carrie.
What it is.
Yeah, but.
And Inigo Montoya.
From where they left last season with her and where they started her this season, it's just completely different.
They F themselves.
Yeah.
They've had a lot of writer room turnover, which, you know, that happens to shows, but. They wrote themselves into a corner by keeping Brody alive.
They should have killed Brody.
He needed to die at the end of the
season.
Even
Brody said that. Even the actor said that.
And Showtime won't let them do that.
Yeah.
Showtime, I hope, Craig, let's just hope that Showtime doesn't mess up Masters of Sex, because they messed up Dexter. They messed up Homeland.
They don't have a good track record right
now. Andy, Mandy Patinkin or Inigo Montoya, our main man, Saul Barrison, he's the only reason that I like Homeland anymore.
Mm-hmm.
In this last episode, his character did so many things that weren't Saul at all. I was like, Saul doesn't do that. He's composed. Like, why is he acting like this? It doesn't make sense.
Okay.
And it's like a show that they're just like, it's like, okay, cool. This is all this spy espionage that we want to watch. And there's like no spying happening at all. It's just like, Carrie's crazy.
Yeah. Oh, be on the meds, get off the meds. Be on the meds, get off the meds. So there's another show I'm out on. And I'm out on this next show for a different reason. It's a show that I definitely enjoy watching, but this season has not been compelling enough for me to continue, you know, just with every single episode, every single week. And that's Sons of Anarchy. Are you caught up on the show?
You're a watcher. I've watched all the episodes. It's something that I put on in the background while I'm multitasking because it's not that compelling. I agree with you. The worst thing about the show is how every episode, one, is longer than the
normal. It's like 90 minutes, yeah.
Which is weird, but also how every episode ends in a montage of them cleaning up what directly happened in that current episode.
So some sad guitar song.
Yeah, it's just like some dusty old song. We're going to clean up all this stuff that got blown up, or we're going to like show the mom getting into some dirt. Or montage fatigue.
You're anti-montage. I like Sons of Anarchy, but you know, I find myself doing this. I did this last season too, where the season's midway through and then I kind of miss one episode, and then, you know, I miss two episodes, and then I find myself 8 months later watching the season on Netflix. So probably is what's going to happen for this season as well for me.
Can I do a little quick disclaimer, Andy?
Yeah.
You know me. These guys know me. I'm a person who likes a lot of things. Yeah. I like almost everything. I'm very positive about my liking of things, but I don't know what's going on with TV right now, but maybe, you know, us exiting this golden age of television is really just really going to affect my experience of television.
I so wish you would watch Arrow.
You really need to watch Arrow.
I'm so mad
it's
right now.
It's such a good show.
I watched the first three episodes and I was not
Do you want to know how I stopped watching Arrow, Andy?
Huh?
I was about to watch the latest episode that I hadn't seen yet on our On Demand, and I was like, oh, don't watch that episode yet. I haven't seen the episode. So I didn't watch it, and then I haven't seen it since.
Elijah, you've got to catch it is right now where the shows are, and, you know, we're going to do – we got a couple more reviews coming up. This is one of the best shows on TV, not in a technical sense or in an acting sense, but just in a, like – I love, like, every
week.
It's
a fun show.
I love getting home. Like, yes, there's an episode of Arrow, getting involved in this comic book world that is, it's really, really, it's a cool show. And
Black Canary's in there now, right?
Black Canary's in the show now. Ra's al Ghul's going to be in the show.
Is Black Canary foxy as I imagine her to be?
She is.
She's pretty foxy.
League of Shadows is involved in the show now as well.
You're going to have Flash soon.
Flash will be involved this season.
I like getting Flash.
It's going to be a very good show. Michael Jai White is in the show as well.
The
girl that played Summer in Firefly. Summer's her name, right?
I was thinking Napoleon Dynamite when you said
Summer. Side ponytail.
What's her face's sister, the singer, Hilary Duff. Anyways.
So
Napoleon Dynamite drop.
J.J. Abrams' favorite from Firefly is also in the show now, Arrow. So
Joss Whedon favorite.
Joss Whedon. Wow.
Ooh, that's a...
Sorry, everybody out there. That's really, everyone's
just
angry.
Just say that. You don't have to lose credibility. Just we'll edit that out.
Joss Whedon fanboy's favorite actress in the Arrow show as well. So
I'm not going to edit to fix that.
I know.
Gotcha.
Douche.
It just gotcha.
Hey, Elijah, in 30 seconds or less, tell us how good Legend of Korra is.
They recently did an hour-long special where they told the story of the first Avatar, and they did it in a different art style, an older Chinese art style. It was the most beautiful episode of the show probably since The Last Airbender, and I cried. I was sitting in the living room with Kyle just holding back tears because it was so...
Was he really?
I came in about 15 minutes to the episode it started, and I was like, oh, what's this? Oh, it's Korra. I'll just sit down and watch it for a bit. I was on lunch or something. And I just look over, and Elijah kept going, you know, touching his face, like, what the hell is he doing? And then I literally realized he did exactly what he said. It was a really good episode, and it had great art style, like he was saying, but he was dabbing away tears.
Dude, lion turtles are the bomb. I don't even, like, understand. They're the coolest.
Okay, all right. It is a good show. We're into Korra, of course, and there's only, like, what, two episodes left? One episode left for the season? There's only 10 episodes.
Oh, really? I did not know
10 episodes in the first season, too.
Okay, well, I guess we're close to the end.
Yeah, almost done. Right, sorry, Elijah. Sorry to ruin for you.
Whoopsie.
All right, let's get into Marvel a little bit. Now, we kind of talked about it. Anything else that you guys needed to say about Marvel? I mean, we said, we're all in on the show.
Do you like the direction that it's taking? Calling it Marvel. Instead of, like, it's not, it's just a show.
It doesn't matter.
Too much.
That's too long.
There's too many words.
The lead female character, she is surprisens foxy. She's been growing on me. Her hotness has grown.
You're talking about the hacker?
Yes. Okay. her hotness has grown in the weeks, and it's been a little racier than I would imagine for being a family show.
The wet episode.
Like she was fell into the running around water. Running. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
They've been doing cool little after the credits moments every week, which is fun. I like that. The other thing that I wanted to bring up is Coulson and how he's probably a robot zombie monster.
Is Coulson a robot? That's the best question.
No, he's not.
He's not.
He's not a robot.
So what do you think he is then?
I still think he's himself, but they literally. Like, same thing that Tony Stark did. You know, he built something to keep himself alive. I don't know if they help employ...
What if
Coulson's just,
I don't think
like
he's a copy.
A clone trooper.
I don't think he's a copy. I think he's still himself, but, you know, when they said they sent him off, I don't even remember what island
I think
was.
It's Belize. They actually call it, which is funny because that's Breaking Bad. But every time they bring it up, he's like, yeah, it's a beautiful place.
See, I think they put him under for so long. It could be a year. They never said how long. He says it was a certain amount of months, but nobody in the show that actually knows says how long it was. So what if he was under for 2 years and Tony Stark was literally rebuilding his insides?
I'm going to go ahead and say that he was injected with extremis.
Super soldier stuff? That would make sense.
Yeah, and the reason why he doesn't react or go off, quote, you know, explode like they do, is that he doesn't know he has that ability to do that. And he's so mild-mannered and calm and he never gets angry that he's the perfect candidate to have this with him.
I think that it's something
because that's a part of the storyline this year. I think it'd just be interesting.
Think that they rebuilt him in some fashion. Cyborg is the most likely, but they might have just offloaded his consciousness into something else too.
Especially think about this too. Think about how Iron Man 3 ended with Pepper Potts getting extremis, you know, basically saving the whole.
But Tony Stark fixed her.
Right, he fixed her.
That's what I'm saying.
But
what if they took it from her?
And then also he took out his chest piece.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So I think that we will probably find out more about this, but that Iron Man / Tony Stark has found a way to make the extremis technology safer. And
because if anyone's going to do it, it's going to
be
Tony Stark.
Right, exactly. So we'll see.
He hasn't been introduced, but Ant-Man.
You know the best part about the show is this conversation right here. I love shows that give good
my dark horse idea is that he is much like a stormtrooper, and there's just thousands of copies of him.
There's a giant Coulson factory.
Oh, that Coulson died. Time to bring in another one, just like the Venture Bros. I used to have copies of them just chilling.
All right, Elijah, Craig, you guys are. I know you guys as masters of sex, so it only makes sense that you guys talk about the show.
Well, I'm kind of like an apprentice. Craig's the master. I do learn from him. I watch a lot of what he does. I study his technique.
Why are you going to masturbate?
There's a hole in the wall for the reason, bro. It works both ways. You could look through my side.
What? This whole time?
There's a hole.
I've got a little finger. I've got a little finger style peephole in my room just for you.
This is a
Game of Thrones reference.
We need to
wrap it up.
Yeah. Anyway,
better wrap this shit up.
So much I've heard.
What are you guys still in on the show? I mean, you guys were talking about how it was one of your favorite new shows, and you just love the direction.
I'm still in on the show. I think Elijah is as well. We actually did not watch the latest episode that aired on Sunday,
but we saw the last five.
But I'm going to watch that probably maybe even tonight, and get caught up with that. But I mean, the big thing that happened is Master's wife was pregnant, and she ended up having a miscarriage.
Dead baby.
Ooh, dead baby scene?
They showed the dead baby, yeah.
Wow.
Intense.
It was pretty intense.
Here's the thing. Showtime must have heard this, our last podcast, where Craig complained about the fake baby in Dexter. Because they really put some money behind this fake dead baby.
I mean, this baby was still... But
stillborn.
It was more realistic than the fake baby and a live fake baby in Dexter.
This is the best review of Masters of Sex that exists.
So what is Masters sidekick? I always forget
her
name.
Lizzie Kaplan's her real name,
right? But her name on the show. Anyway, Lizzie. She's trying to console Masters because she knows what happened, and she walks into the office, and Masters, being the stoic dude that he is, wasn't trying to get emotional, but eventually he just lets it all go. This is one of my least favorite moments of the series so far. It was just such bad crying, where it was like, "Don't look at me, I'm a monster," and then he just screams like, "Oh!"
He Okay, so I agree with Craig's the comedy potential in that scene, but I did like it because he told her to close her eyes and she wouldn't, and then he covered her eyes with his hand.
Right.
And then he, like, held her hand and looked away and cried. I liked...
it was all good. All good up until the cry. I mean, it echoed the freaking scene where Darth Vader turns into Darth Vader in episode 3, where...
No!
It was
it's a good show. The sex is good in the show.
It's really just icing on the cake.
Yeah. Lizzie Kaplan naked. Worth it.
Pretty good.
The guy from Fired Up beating women. It has subsided. He's now into putting ice on the breasts of women who just newly turned legal. That's his new game.
Yeah, he's got a crazy stalker girl now after him who happens to be the daughter of the Provost. Guy that runs the college.
The main...
They're doing all the tests at and stuff. But that's all I pretty much have to say
she
about
Masters.
She went
crazy on him too because this girl made it seem like... she knew how to do things in the bedroom when really she was a virgin and she's had it out for this guy since she was like 16 and he danced with her when she was fugly. And then
right.
she forced him to basically take her virginity. And then afterwards she was like, now I'm your girlfriend. You love me. And my dad will be so happy. Your boss, who's my dad, he's going to love that we're together.
Yeah, not going to
entrap. Don't ever sleep with anyone. That's the moral of this story. Just do like Craig and bait the Masters. Flip that one around. Put that thing down, flip it in reverse, and you'll get what I'm talking about.
All right, you guys. Well, let's go on to some quick hits here. We're basically just going to quick fire through a few different shows. Let's try to keep it to just a couple sentences.
Yeah, so I want to talk about Eastbound and Down and Hello Ladies.
Go ahead.
Which is a new show on HBO.
Which is with Stephen Merchant, who I'm right. a huge fan of, and I've saved that show. I want to watch it and get into it.
Okay.
I'm excited
so
about watching.
I won't spoil too much. There's not a lot to spoil, because it's pretty much the same premise every episode where he's trying to get laid. And in every episode so far, he has said, Hello Ladies, which I'm going to continue to look for when I'm watching these episodes and see
Make
if he
sure
actually
he says
it. I want to make a contrast between Eastbound and Down and Hello Ladies, because in Hello Ladies, you have a likable character where everything wrong happens to him, and in Eastbound and Down, you have an unlikable character that pretty much things continue to happen well for him. Like, you want to root for both people, but for different reasons. Mm-hmm. You know, like, one of them is just a total asshole, and the other one is, he's a likable dude, but he says asshole things and does things that...
aren't really him.
Yeah, like, he's trying too hard to impress people.
Sure.
And I think it's going to be interesting when the payoff finally happens, especially when in Hello Ladies, where so many bad things have happened to Stephen Merchant, whose name is Stephen in the show, that you're just going to be so happy that something finally good happened to him.
Nice.
Good.
So I'm excited to watch the show.
Yeah, I think you'll like it.
You're going to be happy when Kenny Effin Powers just dies or has a heart attack?
I kind of want something bad to happen to him, yes. To be honest, I think that's the only
heard this
way that they get
into
the show.
The second best, if not the best.
It's been really good.
So, all right, let's get into Elijah briefly talking about Boardwalk Empire.
I'm bored.
You are bored with the walk.
Here's the thing with Boardwalk Empire. It's pretty to look at. That's really consistently why I watch it. I'm not interested in where the plot lines are going. There's too many characters. They need to cull some people. I think if more shows were brave and like killing off Rick, if they killed off Steve Buscemi's character, the show would really open up and be about a lot more interesting things. Like, because I'm most interested in the things that are happening in Chicago and New York. I don't care about Jersey and Atlantic City. It's boring there.
Okay. All right, cool.
And it's like that shows that pretty girl that, like, you know, that she's that girl who's just way out of your league and beautiful. And when you finally get with her, you realize she ain't about nothing.
Yeah, she's
not a lot
got
of substance
no personality.
There. Yeah. Just okay. She's all the looks.
I gotcha. All right, let's get into Saturday Night Live. Have you guys been liking it? I saw the Edward Norton one just the other day. And he was pretty good, actually.
Yeah, that might have... Well, I don't know. That might have been the weakest... episode of
this
the year
so far. This has
been
one of my favorite seasons of SNL, just because of how, you know, we've talked about this before, the variety and
all the different things
not being able
to
rely on one person. So what do you guys think?
I still love the show. I watch it every week, of course. Me and Elijah were talking about this earlier, that the funniest sketches have been after a Weekend Update.
And that's completely different. Just like almost a new era of SNL, because I usually watch the beginning skits and then Weekend Update and then stop.
I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to make more obscure skits after Weekend Update that they can't get away with in the earlier time slots.
Right, sure.
And then those are the skits that get more viral hits.
For example, E-Meth,
which was
a post-Weekend Update skit this year.
Yeah, that sort of thing. You know, they did the weird Fox parody, which I think is probably 2 months too old.
Too late, yeah. And it's like, actually not that funny, but it's kind of funny the first time you watch it, but then it gets...
Really here's dumb. The thing, though, because when we were at our friend Kevin's birthday party, his girlfriend, her parents were just on it. So I think that they're actually right at the right time. Because now all the daytime talk shows are talking about what foxes say. No one even cares what foxes feel.
So basically what we're talking about how... Yeah, the
poor foxes. How SNL is not really appealing to the internet generation. They're just doing it because it became relevant to parents.
And to the kind of people that are watching TV.
See, I'm just so used to SNL being on top of their stuff every week. Yeah. They make fun of something that just happened. And it doesn't have the same
kick
when it's that old. Yeah. And plus, it just didn't, like, when it first started, I was like, okay, this has potential. And I finished it and it just didn't land the jokes that it needed to land.
All right, you guys, let's get into New Girl and Brooklyn Nine-Nine. These are both very, very good shows. No new episodes last week, but they will be airing this evening. I really want to talk about first New Girl and that Keaton episode.
Right.
Where they were trying to trick him into thinking. I mean, obviously, they played a Schmidt and, like, you know, saying that he's kind of... He's really smart and successful, but he's also kind of naive and stupid, you know.
Right.
And they, you know, where basically they had Zooey Deschanel, Jess, dressed up as Batman in the distance, and like he was going to mistaken her for Michael Keaton somehow.
Right. I think the payoff for me is so we know, the audience knows that he knows. He finds them typing, whatever.
Yeah.
But we don't know fully that he actually thinks that they hacked into Michael Keaton's email. So he still didn't know fully, even though he knew.
Yeah.
And then there was the final reveal that, hey, it's been me the entire time.
Right.
You know, I love you so much that I've been doing this for 10 years now.
They had almost a sweet moment on the pavement talking to each other, Schmidt and Nick. Almost.
Almost.
And the dude was like, what are these emotions? What is this?
Yeah. You can't. It's exactly what you expect New Girl to do, is get you right up to the line. And then
Schmidt moved out.
Well, tough.
Is he actually going to be out for that long? He moved across the hallway.
So is this the perfect moment to bring Coach back, right? This I'm still waiting for Coach.
Coach is supposed to be back this week.
It's supposed to be this week.
Yeah. So, and also, too, what's going to be really funny is having Schmidt be the neighbor, like the annoying neighbor, you know, like not wanting to go back to the apartment, but not wanting to, you know, say that he was wrong and moving out. And so it's just going to be weeks of him being really stubborn, you know, talking to Nick and Jess and Coach, hopefully.
Too. One thing I'd like to say is, what is happening with Winston? He's gotten really weird this season.
Off the
season.
Deep end,
like,
man. You gotta love it.
Him and that cat.
He's Ferguson. I mean, you gotta have a wild card character, I guess, in the show.
And that was Nick, and now he has to be
not so much of a wild card. Fair enough. That's a good point. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, Nick Miller was the craziest character on the show until... Now
I like Winston. I like owner Winston.
I like the vibe he's putting out.
I want to come over to your house, Elijah, sometime and have you be wearing a hoodie as pants. That's what I want.
Got you.
Let's Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Now, I want to ask you this question specifically about the show. Does it bother you when a show does not have an overall arc? Like, you know, episode 1 relates to something in episode 4 that relates to something in episode 9. Because Brooklyn Nine-Nine, as of right now, is very much contained in its own half hour each episode. And it doesn't seem like there's a lot of... It's not very high stakes. Does that bother you about the show? Or does that make you like the show more or less? Or how do you feel about that?
I think with each first season for any show, it's hard to have those stakes present. Mm-hmm. So, you know, next season, they might do some callbacks to season 1. You know, eventually I do think that Andy Samberg's character and his female counterpart are going to hook up at some point.
Right.
And that's going to be more interesting. They're laying the groundwork for us to care about that relationship.
They've also set it up well for an Andy Samberg accidental hookup with the crazy, really mean chick, like that he accidentally drunkenly hooks up with her one night and kind of ruins things for a couple episodes with him and the other girl.
And then, because the goofy oddball cop.
Yeah, he'll get mad at Andy.
Yeah, because he loves him, like, calls him the king, loves him so much.
Dude,
that
he could be the best supporting comedic actor in a show this season.
So, okay, so this is what I was actually going to say about this show, is that I love the captain, I love the sergeant, I love Andy Samberg's character, but I really feel like they're one great character away from the show being amazing. Because right now, it's just okay. It's good. I like it. It's funny. But I think that the rest of the cast is really weak in comparison to those three.
Including the secretary, which we all find.
Yeah, she's annoying. I don't like her.
So I think that they're one, like, oddball character away from making the show really great. And I think that that character could be, like, a CI, a cop informant. Like, they have, like, an informant on the streets who's their main guy that they go to find out about the dirt.
You could think of some really funny guys.
Like a black guy that went to an Ivy League college, but he acts ghetto.
That would be great. Yeah. If there was like,
just picture like Carlton from Fresh Prince acting like Will Smith.
Yeah.
So I hope the Brooklyn Nine-Nine staff is listening. Fox, you're out there.
And, you know, what would even be better than making those characters people that came back every week? It would be, you know, like every third episode they'd go to him for information or something. And it would be something to really look forward. Like, oh, yeah, we get to go see this guy this week.
We get to see Jamal again.
Yeah. Why do you have to? Why does it have to be Jamal?
Because Craig said he was a black guy. He was Carlton, so I just can't.
So Jamal was the most
blackest name.
Anyways, all right, you guys. Last show we're going to talk about in Quick Hits is my favorite new show this season.
Your namesake.
Blacklist. If you're not watching this show, you are missing out on something that's very, very, very good. Now, again, I'll tell you guys, the acting is over the top. There's moments that are a little bit cheesy, but it's like, I think I told you guys this last week or last time we recorded about Blacklist, but it would be like, the Lakers being bad, but giving Kobe the green light to just shoot as many times as he wants.
Okay.
That's what it's like with James Spader. They're just like, hey, man, this is your show. Go carry it. You know, do it. And they actually have a really good story building up. Basically, every episode is a different villain or a different bad guy. And then there's an overall story that they go to as well. It's really good. You guys should totally watch it. I think that you would enjoy it. I keep telling you that. But Elijah hasn't watched Arrow, and I've been telling him about that for a year and a half now. So, now, we're going to have some old TV recaps. This week, we're going to, I guess, talk about The Wire and Lost. I don't know what we're doing to recap them. I just want to, since we're talking about old TV shows, give a shout-out to the show I'm currently watching right now, which is Chuck. Going back and finishing. I only got through the first two seasons, and then it kept airing. I never did, but now it's all on Netflix, and I'm going to finish it.
A show that I never got into, I don't really know why, because it would air. Like, awesome. I think it was either before My Name is Earl, which I really like. Or after it, I just never watched it.
Chuck is very good.
Couldn't tell you why, but I think I would like it.
I just picked back up in the middle. I watched the first two seasons, picked up at the season three beginning, and I'm just enjoying the crap out of it. So, but what do we? So, how do we want
to
do this?
I just wanted to tell you that this was just for you, Andy. So, I had been recently watching or rewatching Lost with my girlfriend, and she watched all of it, and she loved all of it until the last 5 minutes.
Right.
I just had to be honest with you about that.
And what did she say to you? Like, what was her words?
She didn't like the choices that they made for the ending.
No, neither does anybody else.
I just wanted to be honest with you and let you know.
Okay.
I had to be honest with you.
Was she disappointed?
Just with the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, but I mean that's
over. Yeah, I would say she really liked the show until that last episode.
Okay, all right.
Because she thought it was going one way and it ended up going another.
We have to go back, stop watching yet again.
No, I'm telling you, man. Season 4 is great. Season 4 has the best episode of the show.
We're going to be 60 years old yelling at each other about Lost.
We'll be lost in a corn maze.
Grandkids are going to be like, who cares about that dumbass TV show?
No, it'll be one of those things where it'll be like Hatfields and McCoys where like our children's children are still battling.
Lost is good. No, it's not.
Yeah, and all my children will be living on a beautiful island.
Well, and The Wire, I think.
Have you been watching The Wire?
No, but I'm going to.
You both owe me.
We all need to. Everyone needs to.
I beat you.
Everyone in existence needs to watch The Wire. Apparently.
I've seen like the first three episodes and kind of lost interest. Not gonna lie.
I watched the first four and I wasn't compelled.
Yeah. When did you watch the first three? Not with me, son.
Do I have to watch everything
Elijah's
with you?
Excitement rubs off on people.
I think what I need to do is multitask while I watch maybe the first season or something.
It's a deep show. It's tough.
The dialogue is worth it because if you're not watching and
it's
like
not
listening,
a show to multitask.
You're not going to get the dialogue.
It's dense. Because
one of my favorite things.
Got to buckle down. Yeah,
one of my favorite things about the show is the dialogue and just how like one of the characters, Prop Joe. The nicknames in the show are great for the drug dealers, by the way. But Prop Joe, he's talking about. People like who need to get got, and he's just like, yeah, I'm gonna walk in there and make them cadaverous motherfuckers, and like just the way that they bend the English language.
All right, we need
glorious.
To watch. We'll watch it again. We owe you
a
season of The Wire. I wish I would have won that bet so you would be forced to watch Arrow though.
What bet?
about breaking getting bad. They know. The people know.
Tear this out. Interrupting.
All right, this week's new segment is going to be a weekly thing that I really like. They literally just sent me, Craig made the outline and sent me three words. It says DVR shame and then the name of the show. So we're going to have a weekly segment now, which is basically what's
the You're the
show?
One that deleted Dracula.
What's the I didn't one delete show, it. What's the one show on your DVR that if someone saw that was there, would you be a little bit like, oh, that's not mine, that's my friend's, or it's actually set up to record scary stuff, so just put Dracula on there. You know, what's the excuse that you'd have to come in? So this week is Dracula.
Me and Craig, we went on our DVR and we're just like looking through things that we have to clean out because we got to manage it. We record a lot of shows and we're just like, who the f*** recorded Dracula? Like,
I will defend Kyle here and say that I definitely do want to watch this show. Jonathan Rhys Meyers is a very good actor.
It's a good show so far.
NBC, their track record the last 2 years with television shows has been...
not good? They're in last place.
Just because a channel's in last place does not mean that they put out bad television. They put out... they are legitimately trying to do cable television on primetime now. Hannibal
was good.
You like Blacklist. Blacklist is really, really good.
They
it's
got
a dark
new brand.
Violet.
I like it. They got
and,
a new brand.
And Dracula, to me, fits right in with what NBC is trying to do. It reaches a demographic that they don't necessarily have. And it could be a good show. You
guys stopped my recordings.
We didn't.
We
didn't touch it.
Our, really our DVR has just been messing up really badly.
Did you, so did you like it?
I've watched the first two episodes, and so far it's good.
It's good? Yeah, see, I want to watch it too.
It's a good show.
Listen.
It's like Arrow. It's a great
show.
Hey, bro.
Let's fist bump this, okay? Don't you worry. We'll stick together, okay?
Kyle really likes dreamy guys who are mysterious and dark jumping on ladies.
Jonathan Rhys Meyers. Who doesn't? Am I right? No? Okay.
No,
all right, you guys. Well, we're going to finish up today with our last bit of talk. We're going to talk about a new show coming out called Almost Human, a J.J. Abrams Fox show starring Carl Urban that will probably be bad. Elijah, do you agree with me?
No, it looks really good.
Okay.
The production value looks out the wazoo, my friend.
Okay.
I mean, that may just be from the two-hour premiere.
Pilot.
And, you know, pilots, they throw all the money at, so yeah. I get that. I'm with you. But Carl Urban's a big-name guy. I like him. He seems, like, perfect to be floating that line between... he can be in movies and he can be on television. He seems the perfect for that kind of role.
Craig, do you agree?
I haven't seen any trailer for it. I understand the premise a little bit. Elijah, you want to explain
the
premise a little bit for me?
So the Carl Urban character is a cop who was damaged, and they replace him with some cyborg parts. So he's kind of half man, half robot.
Oh, it's that show.
Yes.
Oh, okay. No, I don't. That looks bad.
Okay.
That's right. I've seen that.
And then the second character, his partner, is actually entirely robot, and he's a defective model that has more empathy than the other partner robots that are meant to murder and save you.
The black character.
Yes.
Okay. So, I mean, that's tough for me. It's hard to portray a robot when you're... you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if I'm fully going to believe that he's a robot.
It looks cool. Future show. I like feature. Okay, you guys can be... hey, look.
I'm excited for the show.
Apparently,
it looks good, and I would like to watch it.
I've been really wrong about frickin' Sleepy Hollow, because people try to tell me that's a good show, and it looks terrible to me, but Almost Human looks good to me, and it might look bad to you. Maybe we just have different tastes, Craig.
I think just the premise I would like.
Now, I love sci-fi.
Now, here's a show that I will... you love sci-fi. Interesting stuff. Segue here, Elijah. There's a new show that airs on January 10th on Sci-Fi called Helix. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this show up is because it is from the guy who brought us Battlestar Galactica, Ron Moore. And it is a show about a team of scientists who go to the Antarctic to do research on a disease outbreak. And basically, the plot synopsis at this point says... they have a decision, or they come across something that will change the face of mankind, forever. Change what future of mankind.
Well, do you think it'd be better than Battlestar Galactica?
Well, no. Come on, bro.
Well,
what I'm saying is that
beats Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, is there bears?
Beats.
Okay.
There's another show.
Anyways,
it's a Ron Moore show, and that's why I like talking about it. Do you guys? Does that sound interesting to you? An outbreak type show.
Not with The Walking Dead fresh in my mind.
You guys, thanks so much for listening to the podcast today. This has been TV Camp. Just a little tidbit of information for you. Our other podcast, Movie Camp, is actually throwing a Hunger Games event for the new Hunger Games movie that's coming out. And if you are interested in that and you want to know more, just hit us up on Facebook at MovieCampCO or go to our website, moviecamp.co. There's more information there about the event as well. It's going to be a premiere event. It's going to be very exciting. Make sure to email us, too, as well, info@moviecamp.co, questions, comments, anything like that. And again, like us on Facebook, all right? Thanks for listening. Again, for Elijah, Craig, and Kyle, I'm Andy. See you guys. Have a good night.
Bye.
Watch TV.
Okay, and I was going to say something after class, but I happened to turn around and get my headphones out of my backpack, you know, and then go, and she was, like, already out the door, and I started trying to walk fast and be like, hey, what's up? And she was gone. So.
The casual bump into?
Yeah.
Can we have a weekly update on your status with this girl?
Well, he was trying to decide between new girl and then this girl who taught him how to twerk at the...
Well, this new girl I literally have known for about an hour and 30 minutes. And okay. I've always said maybe...
And there's
two full sentences to her.
Doesn't seem right. Like
so actually, what you mean is you've said four words to her.
Yes.
Total. Two full sentences.
No. It was two words. Full sentences.
This Hi, is Kyle. We're going to have every week
name?
On the TV.
No,
every time
I don't
we record the TV
name.
Podcast, let's have Kyle's dating
Kyle
corner.
Dating update.
First off.
It's going to be a lot of silence. You know, like when someone dies and there's like, flatline. That's what it's going to be Kyle's flatline.
No, but in all seriously, twerk girl. I'm telling you.
Sit closer to her.
Just start twerking down the hallway, and she'll flash back to when
she
was teaching
you. Didn't she say how to twerk is you have to dislocate your ass from your hip?
And so I was like, I'm not going to dance. It's okay. And like I danced a little bit, and then like Elijah's like, don't worry, that won't work. Come here. And so he grabs me, and he pulls me around, and he's like, touch his hair. Like, he's like, keeps bringing me up to girls. Like, touch his hair. Just rub your hand through his hair one time. You won't regret it. Like, it's amazing. Like,
he's the best wingman ever.
Everybody that we went up to was like, ugh, this is so weird.
Yeah.